ABC News Radio. I'm Brian Shook. The Supreme Court is pausing the lifting of Title 42 for now. Chief Justice John Roberts granted a temporary stay Monday afternoon. Several states filed an emergency application asking the High Court to keep Title 42 from ending, claiming it would lead to an overwhelming flood of immigrants. The House committee investigating last year's attack on the Capitol is referring criminal charges against former President Trump to the Department of Justice. Virginia Democrat Elaine Luria is on the committee and spoke after the panel's action.
There were limits within the capability of a congressional investigation. There's things the Department of Justice can do to compel witnesses, seek additional testimony.
The panel is recommending the DOJ investigate Trump for inciting an insurrection, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., conspiracy to make a false statement, and obstruction of an official proceeding. Harvey Weinstein is being found guilty of sexual assault in California. A jury in Los Angeles says the disgraced movie producer attacked a woman in the Los Angeles area. He was acquitted of charges related to a second accuser. The jury was unable to reach verdicts on accusations from two other women. Weinstein was previously convicted of similar charges in New York. A group of more than two dozen governors is calling on President Biden to end a pair of emergency declarations for COVID-19. Lisa Taylor has more.
25 governors, including Florida's Ron DeSantis and Texas's Greg Abbott, signed and sent a letter to Biden. They asked the president to end both the national emergency and public health emergency declared during the pandemic. The group said the country has come a long way since the start of the pandemic, and the public health emergency is having a negative impact on states. I'm Lisa Taylor.
A search is underway for nine suspected Cuban migrants after their boat capsized off the Florida coast. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
This segment is sponsored by PressPrint, Southern California's best full-service union printer and mailhouse. They offer the lowest prices around with unmatched service and reliability and free delivery throughout SoCal. PressPrint can print anything from letterhead, business cards, and campaign literature to mailers of any size, lawn signs, banners, door hangers, or just about anything you might want. PressPrint promises to save money for you, your business, or your campaign. If you'd like to learn more, contact Mike Krumbrin at PressPrint 714-399-8777. Get the union bug.
Happy holidays from the crew at KCAA. Do you have a special, personal Christmas message you like to convey? Imagine the delight of your loved ones when they hear all about it on KCAA. Do you want to get your message out about your Christmas side gig, business, or service? How about your holiday event? Put us to work and support your favorite local radio station, KCAA. For a modest amount, KCAA can get your message out to nearly 1 million listeners from Yucaipa, Moreno Valley, Hemet, Cherry Valley, San Bernardino, and beyond. For more info, you can jingle our bells at 909-793-1065. That's 909-793-1065. Or you can log on to kcaaradio.com. Make your holidays delightful, memorable, and special this holiday on Express 106.5 FM and 1050 AM, the stations that leave no listener behind.
Statewide towing and recovery in Riverside informs drivers every 6 days a tow truck operator loses their life while doing their job. That makes 64 or more of our friends, family, or neighbors casualties. That's why they're on the air urging drivers to please slow down and move over. It's the law. We all have families too. That's from Statewide Towing and Recovery, serving you with quality, reliability, and integrity since 1986. For service, call 951-682-9336. That's 951-682-9336. Where they're not asking for an arm and a leg, just your toes.
Come to Hooters, where there's no such thing as a party of one. Located with a 60 and the 215 Meet in Riverside, near Moreno Valley. For more info, Google Hooters Riverside.
There's only one thing you think of when you think of Hooters. Wings.
Wait, what?
With more styles, better flavors, and fresher wings, you could only be in the original American wing joint. Get them smoked, bacon-wrapped, original style, and now introducing new roasted wings. Roasted crispy to seal in the flavor and seal out half the calories. One taste and you'll think of nothing else.
We'll see about that.
Come to Hooters, where there's no such thing as a party of one. Located with a 60 and the 215 Meet in Riverside, near Moreno Valley. For more info, Google Hooters Riverside.
There's only one thing you think of when you think of Hooters. Hooters, the original American wing joint.
This holiday season, immerse yourself in the Reagan Library's biggest and most extravagant Christmas exhibition yet. Experience a festive forest with over 60 decorated trees, plus artifacts from around the world, including those from the Reagan family's own Christmas celebrations. Capture your family photos in our winter wonderland. And you just may meet Santa himself. An American Christmas Story, now open at the Reagan Library.
Miss your favorite show? Download the podcast at KCAAradio.com.
This is KCAA.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Still nothing come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Gotta take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it until this very day. I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
What's up, team? This is Robert Porto with I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show on KCAA NBC 106.5 FM, 102.3 FM, 1050 AM. On this Christmas before show, we will talk politics, culture, and history. I'm wearing my festive hat, if you can see today, team. And I haven't shaved in a while, so I got the Santa Claus look. But we're having a good time. And today we have some special guests.
Hi, Karen Suarez, Director of Uplift San Bernardino at the Making Hope Happen Foundation.
And Kim Canas, I am the founder of the Verdemont Revitalization Project, board member of We Are the Change San Bernardino, and longtime resident of San Bernardino.
And I've known these two for a long time. They've been all throughout the community. They're almost at every event that I go to. I try to get pictures of them each time, even if they're trying to work their butt off doing whatever. I still got to give you a picture. So I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And before we get into what we're going to do, I'd like to mention our sponsors. Of course, Celebrities Bar and Grill on 40th. Max Zaire and his wife Chloe are, advocates for San Bernardino. They want to do great things for our community, and they want San Bernardino to rise up. And as San Bernardino rise up, they make more money, right? So that's how that works. The more our businesses live in a better atmosphere, clean streets, less homelessness, things like that, the more the sales tax revenue comes out of those businesses that help San Bernardino, and the more money they make so they can expand, hire more employees, things like that. Add a bigger steak on the menu. But if you are hungry for a steak over there at Celebrities, they got the $9.99 deal, and it's like an 8-ounce top sirloin steak, a baked potato, and some toast in it. It fills me up every time. It's super good. So Max is also having a Christmas event this Wednesday at 6:00. I think it costs $10 and it's for the kids. So they get like a meal and they get some goodies and stuff. So you have to register. You'll see it on my personal profile. It's also in Isle of San Bernardino, or go to Max's Celebrities Bar and Grill page. It's on there as well. And come bring your kids over, have a good time. Last time it was packed for Halloween. I am talking, all the kids got a meal. They got ice cream. They were playing The Nightmare Before Christmas. There was like 30 little kids in the. And I was like, this is awesome. And it's a family spot, even though it is a bar, and you can have margaritas and daiquiris. You can still bring your family in there and have a good meal and stay away from the bar. And that's what I do. All virgin daiquiris for me. But mostly I just have water over there. And I also would be remiss if I didn't mention Fire Mariscos and Wings right there over on Court Street, right across the street from where they're skating. So they're doing the synthetic skating over there on the Miracle on Court Street till the 20th. It costs $5, I believe, and you have to register. And they're having a blast over there. You can take your pictures with your kids in front of these different setups they have over there. And occasionally they have Santa. They've done a lot of events over there. We did the Santa Claus letter signing. And then I was telling people, hey, go across the street to Fire Mariscos and head on in there and have one of the Volcanhete, right? So it's this huge, mocajete filled with, shrimp that you have to peel open yourself, some fish, crab claws, mussels, and it is just scrumptious. Your mouth will be, lips will be burning by the time you're done with this thing. And it's so good that you're taking the chips and getting the stuff in the bottom of the mocajete after you're done. So, but they also have tacos over there. I think it's 3 tacos for $10. And mariscos, shrimp cocktail, beers, if you need beers, beers with lime and pico, what do they call it? Pico
on the gallo?
Yeah, on the top. And yeah, so it's tajin, there it is, tajin. Yeah, so yeah, you know your Coronas, right? Yeah, I mean, these things look all fancy when they come out. I quit drinking way too soon, I guess. But yeah, Fire Mariscos, head on over there. They're great people. Tell them I sent you, and let's help bring downtown back up, because, you know, these events are one thing, but if we're not spending money in that community, it's not helping revitalize downtown. So I'm not waiting for no downtown redevelopment project or any of that crap that I hear for 8 years. I'm helping the businesses that are there right this second. Go into the Enterprise Building. They got events in there. Rent a spot. Throw your parties there. Help the Stanley family out, right? And then they can pay some sales tax revenue back into our community and feel like they belong. You know, that's the Andreessen Building used to be one of the premier buildings in the whole city. I mean, it actually is what created downtown San Bernardino. So, if we could utilize those types of buildings and families that really want to help, and then go, you know, head on down there to Viva La Boba and spend some money there. You help the family there, and David will be like, come on in, you know, have a good time. You want boba with that? You know, I'm usually like, a pass on the boba, but I do like the teas in there. They have coffees and I like the juices too. They got a lot of cool stuff in there. And then stop at the little gallery. It could, you know, take a look at some of the art that we got there. Romo's got a spot across the way, and there's a night skate on East Street right there. So you can go inside their galleries, you know, hire Romulo for doing photography. You know, get your Christmas pictures taken. Let's spend money in our town, team. If we spend money here, then it helps everybody. If we sneak off over into Redlands and spend our money, which is okay sometimes, but if we do that, then Redlands people get that tax revenue, right? And San Bernardino relies on our sales tax revenue. I mean, we get a little money from permit fees. We get a little money from fines. You know, those types of things are, you know, okay, but we get money from sales tax. We don't get property tax anymore. That goes to San Bernardino County Fire. So we need to spend money here, team. So when you see a new business come up and it's all, oh, that's just a Circle K right there. Well, that's going to provide gas for that little area. And guess what? When you're selling gas, people are buying gas there and not buying it in Redlands. So that's more sales tax revenue. Right. So I know that sometimes it's, you know, you want something special there, a different eatery or whatever. But let's be happy with what we got. And there's lots of places to build and restart these eateries and things. So don't be negative on the Circle K on Highland in Valencia or the new gas stations that are opening up. You know, let's support all these local businesses and bring in some sales tax revenue. All right. My rant is over. But sometimes I feel like too many people leave our city to spend money when they could be spending it right here. So that's why I like to our gateways need to be shining, right?
Yeah.
So as our gateways are shining, the people come down from the mountains. They feel safe to go to Seattle Brothers on 40th. They spend their money there. they feel safe going to the Home Depot on Highland. You spend your money there instead of like, oh, I'm going down to Lagonia because I can't take it in that Home Depot parking lot. I brave it because it's good for San Bernardino, but other people shouldn't have to brave it. So that's why hopefully we can. Oh, what's up, Councilwoman?
Hey, I'm here.
Councilwoman Sandra Barra is in the house. I'm just ranting and raving about spending money in San Bernardino as we speak. We'll move on from that. I would be remiss. I have to mention the San Bernardino standout of the week is Deb Matley. She's a former commissioner with Parks and Rec.
Yes.
She's set up many trash cleanups, lots of events within the community, dresses up for Halloween. But she also is fundamental in helping the community ho-ho parade, which was brought back to us after it was taken away 10 years ago. And she's been helping run that for 10 years. We used to just do I think it was like one area, yeah, and then they brought it to 5 days. It's been 4 days, right? So it's moved back and forth. I just think it's awesome. Sandra's been helping on that. You were the Facebooker telling everyone direction this year, right?
This year, yes. They were very short staffed.
So we appreciate you, Deb Matley. I mean, my favorite memory of her is covered in paint, painting Second Lake. Right, painting all these different areas of the benches and stuff like that.
She loves San Bernardino.
Yeah. And that kind of stuff really makes me feel good, because if you're really get down and dirty for San Bernardino, you deserve a little recognition. And she's not one to get out there in the spotlight. That's for sure.
No, she's very humble.
Like, yeah. So she actually put a love on the advertisement today. So I know that she cares. And thank you so much for loving San Bernardino. I also would like to mention that Ben Chavez from First Linnean Site Services is the one that's paying for this new segment that I've been doing with the San Bernardino, kind of like to spotlight locals in the community from the IE that need, to be shown that we care about them, right?
Yes.
I've been doing this a long time, and I can count my awards and recognition, like, maybe like half a hand, right? But that's how it works. Like, you're out there, you're working your butt off. You're not doing it for awards. You're doing it for the people, and you're doing it to help San Bernardino.
Correct.
So I don't know how many awards she's gotten. I'm sure it's like but I hope she's getting one for the Ho-Ho Parade coming up here, whole team.
I actually did recognize him as soon as I got elected for the Community Ho-Ho Parade.
Woo!
As a Citizen of the Month.
That's because Sandra is awesome.
She's the year, yes. Because that's not because I'm awesome, but because they're awesome. It's a group of neighbors, you guys.
It's also good when the leaders in our community, see this stuff. Like, those little pieces of paper don't cost anything, really, man, to print out, right? Yeah. So, like I think they should be giving out a lot more, me personally. But this is a little bit that we can do. And Ben Chavez is a good man. He helps San Bernardino in his own way from behind the scenes. So that was just awesome for me.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
And then Anna was helping me. Anna was helping me with the community. What was it? Winter Wonderland. How do they call it? San Bernardino Community Winter Wonderland? Is that what
the
they call it?
At Valley College?
Yeah, at Valley College.
So with Sisters Making a Difference?
Yeah, with Sisters Making a Difference. And they did a great job this weekend.
Yeah, beautiful.
I took a picture of every single vendor. I found Kimberly Calvin out there. I got a picture of her, too. Yeah, seen Edwin Johnson and the team. You were there, too. So we really had a great event. I do know they had enough toys, so some of the kids went through a second time. that's when you've helped the community, right? When you have leftover toys.
It was a wonderful event.
I had a great time.
They always do a great job.
And Ronnie and Sisters Make a Difference. They double the props. Good job for that event. But me and Anna, we gave out $500 in gift cards. I just would run up to a family, right? Like, I didn't do it in the line because then everyone starts asking, right? I would just walk up to a random family, just walk up to them all weird.
All weird.
Be like,
undercover.
What do you love about San Bernardino? And then they're like, well, they don't know what to, I love
They're
that.
Lucky you don't have a camera and a microphone.
Well, I probably should have, but I was just trying to be low key about it and just see what people would say. And a lot of them said community. Some said the mountains. They actually the whole family got gift cards for that one. You know, I was like, Arrowhead. They almost got there. If they would have said the Arrowhead, it would have been bumped. But like, you know, I just wanted them to realize that there is things to love, and they got rewarded for it. You know, so maybe they'll remember that fact. And I saw kids with dolls and modern toys, like the things that they like right now, and they were like, Santa's come early. They were just, you know, strollers with toys, and I was just like, this is awesome. And it was the whole community. It was just like all these little kid heads. There's so many people. You were like, wow, this is how our event should always be. Yeah. So Sisters Making a Difference, high five for that one. All right, and
don't forget, Robin had her event too.
Oh, well, please let her know.
Robin Malibu had her event off of there was a barber shop. The Loved Ones, right? Yeah. The Loved Ones Barber.
Yeah, I know. There's been a.
And she
we
had
should
a beautiful
thank everyone.
Turnout too.
Yeah, Malibu. Yeah, yep, and Muda had his event too. Everyone was working hard. Actually, I love San Bernardino as a toy drive over at Chubbsy's with Jason Lola and Wax Skateboards. Oh. We got a couple boxes of toys that we had donated, and Chubbsy's gave free burgers. So everyone working together to make these kids' lives a little bit better and help the parents, because it's outrageous buying toys nowadays. I was looking at some of those toys. I'm like, man, those are just plastic dinosaurs.
They're not good too, so
we understand. Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't only
especially
want...
Especially when their requests come in, and you're like, oh, okay.
Why do you want plastic dinosaurs? I want an iPad. Where's my brand new computer tablet? I'm like, oh, man.
Santa has to get a second job.
Yes.
Well, hopefully Santa makes his rounds here in San Bernardino a lot easier after these last few weekends. And with the San Bernardino history tidbit, today I would like to talk about a tree and plant called toyon, right? So toyon actually grows in different spots around San Bernardino. One of the easiest spots for me to find it is on Paris Hill Park. And it's this tree with red berries, right? So they actually had to make a law against picking toyon, because when the first pioneers came to San Bernardino and so on, they thought it reminded them of holly. So they were picking all the berries and stuff as Christmas decorations, and it got the name Christmas berry because it comes around this time. And then also they were using it in their wreaths and everything else. So there was a law made against that, but we still have some in San Bernardino. Now, the Native Americans also utilize them, so that's what I want to read what they did. The fruit of this tree was harvested, then either toasted or dried and mashed. Before eating, and prepared fruit was usually left in a vessel to sit for several days so it would soften and sweeten. So like they would char and cook them and then let it sit. Now I've read 3 or 4 days. I read 2 weeks. So there may be like different, you know.
Variations.
Yeah, like sometimes avocado, when it's barely soft, tastes a little bit different than after it's a few more days, right? Yep. So there's probably taste differences, and I haven't tried it yet because it is you're not allowed to pick it, right? But it does sound good. It does sound good. Shoots of the hardwood could be used for making various utensils such as arrow and harpoon shafts, bows, awls, wedges, scrapers, digging sticks, cradle frames, pestles, pegs for the tamal, game sticks, balls, and headdress pins. The wood was once widely employed for making bowls and feather offering poles. It could also be used to smoke fish. So that's our Christmas berry. And if you're ever walking along the Paris Hill Park Trail, it's you can bring the kids up there. It's paved. You can stroller them right up to the top. And we've been doing a good job about getting most of the encampments out of there. There is sometimes a few people up there, and I just say hello. But there is a lot of native plants left on Paris Hill Park. There's some of them I'm not even going to mention to you because they're so endangered in our city, where they don't even hardly exist anywhere in our city, in the actual city itself. So if you're a plant specialist and you love to like hunt plants, that's a great place to go up and look. Unfortunately, a lot of the native plants have been lost on places like Little Mountain and stuff has been burned so many hardcore times, and there wasn't a lot of craggy spots to protect plants. So there's a few native plants still left up there, but I imagine there was a time when there was a lot more. And Paris Hill Park still has a lot. So go on, take your plant book like I do, or you know, use Google Image and you know, your plant program and identify the plants up and teach your kids about the different native plants. Nice. And it was always fun to do that as a kid, and it's still fun to do that now. How do I request city services in the city of San Bernardino? You see a pothole, you see some graffiti, you see some trash that's just out of control in an area. What do you do? Do you yell at Sandra Ibarra?
Yeah, call your council member.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can do that, but it's not always easy to get a hold of them, right?
It's not, right?
So how you request city services, you go online to sanbernardinocity.org/sbaccess. You make a report, you send it in, and they'll send you back whether it's fixed or not. You can also use a mobile app, which is if you go on the city website, there's a bar across it says mobile app. Click on it, and you're on your way. So you just take a picture, which we've done. You take a picture of the pothole, you send it in. It was fixed in 3 days. Sometimes it takes longer. If you have a lot of them in there, that you might not. It might take a little longer. If it's a whole street, that might take a council person, and Sandra can talk about that in a little bit, how hard it is to get a whole street paved. Or you can call 909-384-7272 Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., or Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And we need you to do this, team. 64 square miles is huge. Our city workers cannot see every single spot. They are working their butts off as it is, so if we do not inform them what to do, it's not going to get done. So I know like there is spots that are trashy down the whole street and stuff. That's why we got to nudge Bert Tech into doing some more cleanups on the side of the road, which I've seen them do before, so I know they do it, but maybe a little bit more. You know, let's hope, since they're asking for increases,
every year.
Maybe they can increase the side trash pickup besides just picking up our trash and getting all our recyclables. So I do understand there's major things, team, but the small things we can do, and our graffiti team is one of the best. They are on it. They get out there and they do it. So if you see it graffiti for more than a week somewhere, turn it in and let them know, and they'll fix that stuff.
And they are really responsive. I mean, Public Works has done a phenomenal job of picking up trash. I've reported several things that I see, even when I'm driving, kind of, you know, we just pull over, right? We were at East Point Village, and there's a lot of vacant parcels there, and there was a bunch of trash, but I went back a week later, it was all gone. It looked like a park. The vacant lot looked like a park.
Guess who, Sandra? And Juan Figueroa and these other council members, guess who, what they use when they want to turn something in?
The app. Yeah. It's very helpful. And then they do notify you once your case has been closed. You know, they do it by cases. You can report privately so that if you want them to reach out to you, they can, or anonymously. So if you don't want anybody to know, you know, it's an opportunity. It doesn't matter, right? We're here to improve. I think all of us play a role, right?
We all do.
In improving how our city looks. And I can't tell you how many times when I work with students, you know, one of the number one things they say is that they just want to see our city clean.
Yes, clean.
Right? They want to see a clean city.
And helping the unsheltered. And it does work for streetlights too, team. Or if you do see a streetlight out, please turn it in. I got in an accident at a city streetlight, and my car's totaled.
It disappeared?
Yeah. The light was red on one end constantly, green constantly on the other end.
Oh.
So now the insurance companies are fighting. I'm not going to get anything out of it. I lost my car for free, team, even having insurance. So I'm not going to sue the city of San Bernardino for my car. I just think that's just BS to do that to something I love and I'm trying to protect. And I've had my brother tried to get money out of the city of San Bernardino before for when the police came in and ripped him out of our own house and threw him into the ground, and he hurt his arm and everything. And they just put it into bankruptcy, and he got like 1 cent on the dollar.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, like even my brother, you know, it didn't work, you know, so I'm just not going that route. But I did turn it in, and they said they fixed it, but I found that all the street lights down Second Street All the way down, constantly are broken, and there's something seriously malfunctioning.
Correct. And,
there.
And that's the thing. If you do report, whether it's potholes or sidewalks, whatever it is, if you notice that they close it out and it's still in the same condition, you can reach your council person and I can escalate it, but I try not to. I hope and pray that our city staff is right on it and gets take care of it. Takes good care of it, but there have been instances when some of those requests are closed out without being taken care of, and I don't know unless somebody brings it to my attention. That's one of the problems that we've had in the past, and right now it seems like it's working. But
yeah, Cassandra can't be over 64 square miles, right?
No, and I try to be throughout the whole second ward. But for example, if, let's say you reported that street light and somebody reported the other street light, like maybe a block or two away. We know the city staff can notice patterns, and that way they can have the engineers take a look at what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's a major
area.
Problem because this is going on for like almost 6 months now.
Yeah, but
and like whenever I drive past Second Street, it doesn't matter which road I'm taking down. Well, I'm like, man, that one's too like.
Is it Second and Arrowhead?
All the way Second Arrowhead, Second East Street, Second, all the way down to Waterman. Like, there must be something wrong with the connection there or something.
Because I know on 2nd Street by where the court is, they have that whole area. There's a section that is blocked off.
Yeah.
And it's always blinking red. Maybe
that's the one that, mm-hmm. maybe that's the problem. Something happened there. But, you know, it did suck for me. I'm bumming rides everywhere I go. Thank God for Amy driving me around.
Go, Amy.
But cars are too expensive right now, so I'm waiting for them to come down before I get, you know, supposedly 25% down by next year.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard that too.
They've been really dropping online too on Isle of San Bernardino. I've been like, people, you know, they're asking for an arm and a leg and your firstborn just for a used car with dents and stuff. And now they're like, you know, $2,000 are best offer. So I'm like, all right, that's more my style right there. All right, Sandra, are you ready for the new year coming up?
I am. I'm excited. We have a new mayor coming on board.
Oh, and you're getting installed for your second term on Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock at the 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Okay.
At the Feldheim Library.
Ooh, man.
And then they've asked us, council persons, each one of us, how many seats we want to reserve for our family and friends. So unless you get there very early or you know somebody that is getting sworn in, reach out to them for a seat.
I reached out for a seat, and I should have two reserved.
Yes.
Yeah.
It means my constituent.
But I'm glad you told me 6, because Max is going to be mad. I'm not going to be able to make it his thing, but this is important for me to see you guys getting installed. It's not going to be a regular meeting. It's just going to be the installation, right? Mm-hmm. Is there still going to be public speaking, or?
I don't think there is public speaking on that ceremony. It's a special meeting.
Okay.
There could be, but I don't know. And apologies to everybody that came out to the last council meeting. There was a big hoorah about public speaking being cut down from the 3 minutes to 1 minute. I hope people understand that it was a 4,000-plus page agenda packet that we had to go through that night. We were there till 1 in the morning. If the mayor had not made that call, we probably would have been there till 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's how long it went.
he just wants to get out of there. He's like, no. I'm almost done. I'm late.
Well, he did. It's a courtesy. He did ask us, and we're like, yeah, that's why. That wasn't much of an.
Well, let's not make a habit of that.
No. I like to hear everybody's comments, whether good or bad.
Especially when you take the time all day long to make your speech.
Yes,
I do prep all day long.
I remember being a public speaker up there.
Yeah, and then sometimes like. I don't write mine down, so I actually change it with the comments that are happening in city council. And if you cut it down to a minute and a half, it's like you can't really say everything you want to say.
Right.
Yeah.
I was really impressed, though, how much folks had consolidated. And it is really difficult to condense something, even if it's by, you know, like by 2 minutes. You don't realize how much those 2 minutes mean when you...
It's like blinking, it's gone.
Like, yeah, no! Really, really. And watching the timer, right, from the 30-second mark, and you're like, oh, man, this is... A minute
That's
is...
a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, a minute is quick, but I was very impressed with how folks kind of got their points across very quickly. But I do appreciate the 3 minutes that we normally get
and don't,
public comments.
Don't continuously go over it, because Jeff Wright got sent to jail for 6 months for doing that. For breaking that rule. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Back in the day when we were growing up, there's this guy named Jeff Wright. Oh. And he was complaining about possibilities of bankruptcy and things like that against the city council way before its time. And everyone was like, you're wrong. He would go to the county supervisor meetings, do the same things. He kept breaking instituted the three-minute rule for him. And he kept going over it, saying he was breaking free speech and everything. And then eventually Valles and I think Penman got him cornered and went to jail for 6 months. I read newspaper articles about him asking for money from the community to pay for his bail and all this stuff, right? Wow. He was not very well off, to say the least. They said he was a photographer, which
You know, he probably saw it coming then if he was talking about a bankruptcy before it actually happened.
And he would go through the trash cans at City Hall. So who knows what kind of, like, information he really had. Like, Richard Rodriguez told me that he would catch him in there getting recyclables and stuff. But who knows what else he was picking out of that trash. You know, if you're smart enough to be able to... before they shredded stuff, you know, like Valdivia probably like doesn't, it just slips right out of his hand into the shredder, right? So it's like, I'm just kidding. But maybe, you never know.
I mean, look at how many streets have not been fixed in the city, you know, if I can touch on that, since we're talking about the services and everything, the streets that I requested to fix had not been fixed for over 30 years. And I hope people understand that. I went to the worst of the worst streets ever, and I fought for them. I've asked for them to get fixed since I've been in office. And, of course, because of the bankruptcy, we didn't have the money. But now that we have the money, I got it approved with a 4-3 vote. So it's not easy. And people think that, yeah, you're a council person, you can call your council person and the street and the city will get fixed. That's not how government
works.
It's
just one vote. You got to get 4 and then protect your veto from the mayor.
Yeah. it took a while, but, yeah, it got done. I'm happy. There's more streets to get fixed, and now city staff is pushing back on us because they have an assessment done on all the streets. And I asked them, it's like, well, you have streets that are already about to be at the end of their life, and you're not getting them fixed anytime soon. What's really going on? Why aren't you adding these streets to the CIP, the Capital Improvement Project?
So they actually had a consultant, like, put them at different levels of how...
Right.
But I always wondered how that worked out. You know, like, I'd like to really see that process. That'd be interesting for them to come in and explain exactly that process.
Exactly.
Yeah. How are these...
It would. Yeah.
To see if there's a possibility that favoritism could be at play or not. You know,
well,
maybe
I mean,
it's
got,
totally not.
We've
know?
Got some streets in the North End.
It's actually like a calculation that they do, and I think it's at the
Well, the 7th Ward used to get a lot of love, let me tell you, and almost every single mayor besides Valdivia has been from the 7th Ward.
And there's other streets that were paved when they were all in good condition. They were repaved.
Yeah, they paved around
within a year.
The last mayor's house. I'm like, Fairmount is one of the nicest. Why is this?
And these things get done not all the time through council approval. Staff does that sometimes. Like, it doesn't go through us.
So we got to keep our eyes open.
Yeah.
and it does. It's
Speak
data,
up.
Data-driven fixing of streets is important.
Mm-hmm.
But so is like keeping people happy that have not had their street fixed for 30 years, right? So, like, if they're moving away because of some of this stuff, then that ends up hurting us in the long run.
Yeah.
So, I don't envy that job at all.
No more white hairs now.
Shoot, San Bernardino will give you white hairs, especially if you're up there at council area. But it's worth every white hair for me, and I think I keep getting more and more. I got a halo going now. But I'll cover it with my green hat.
I was like, hey, no, you're always that way. Hey,
So I wanted to thank you and your team up there for okaying the arts and historical preservation grants for the local artist with 501c3s. And there will be monies left over for a new wave of grants for artists without 501c3s, right? So unfortunately, there was a few... that didn't have a 501c3, right? So they were removed from the grant process, and we're hoping in the future we can, you know, there are artists that don't belong to that. So
right.
We want to help them, but we also want to help Those artists and those groups get a 501c3, so we're looking into that as well, paying for those fees, $400 or whatever it is to start a non-for-profit.
$600, yeah. Last time I knew.
Is it $600 now? Yeah, so like get that going and maybe get a continual amount of money to try to get as many as we can in the city and get them started. So like it's not just a few groups that have it. Those other groups realize it's to their benefit to create new ones on the side because we're not allowing a continual every year grants.
Correct.
You have to wait 2 years. So that helps other people get their start. So you know, if you guys didn't ask for a grant, did you, for the arts grants?
No, we didn't. But you know, it's because we want to partner with other organizations. Part of what we do too is help build capacity of not just of other nonprofits, but even our small business community. So there's a lot of wonderful, again, assets in our region and in our city where you can go and take a workshop and find out step by step how to start your nonprofit or step by step how to start your business. And we have a whole group of folks who are working together that are service providers, that are experts in each of the different areas of small business growth. And nonprofits are small businesses, you know, like nonprofit is a tax status. So you really do, like, if you are an artist and you want to start a business and formalize your business, there's a lot of great resources out there for you to leverage. We have
I'm gonna send them to you. Yeah,
we have an Inland Empire Small Business Development Center. We have, for our monolingual Spanish speakers, we have the Asociación de Emprendedoras. We have the National Latino Women Business Association that helps business who have started and have been in business for about 2 years, but it's not just for Latinas, it's for all women and men. Men have participated in some of those workshops in the past. So there's a lot, our Inland Empire Black Chamber of Commerce.
When I saw their website of all the people that have partnered with them, it is an extensive list. I mean, you even have banks in there.
We do. Yeah, we have a vast network. There's like 50, 60 plus organizations. Yeah. And I think what's so beautiful is that we're able to, you know, lift up and amplify, right, the existing programs so that nobody has to do anything alone. No small business owner has to start or grow their business alone. You know, no individual who wants to be an entrepreneur has to start by themselves. There's lots of solopreneurs in our city. You know, we want to build networks. And the reason why Uplift's work is, we're highly collaborative, is because we know we can do things better together, right?
Yep.
We're better together. We're better with a whole ecosystem of organizations. We're better with a whole group of residents and neighbors and students and, you know, our youth.
Yeah, I was going to say, you touch everybody that I can think of from every age spectrum and every financial background.
Yeah, because, you know, this is what we've been hearing for years, right? I mean, I was involved in my former roles because I worked for other nonprofits. I worked for a big bank. I worked for a congressional office in the city. I've had all these really unique and wonderful jobs that have allowed me to serve in the city of San Bernardino, right? But what I noticed is that, like, everyone kind of plays a role. Everyone has their role in their area of expertise, right? And so I think it's, if you can bring folks together, there's a lot of magical things that can happen in neighborhoods. There's a lot of really wonderful outcomes that can happen for families. And the three things that we're really focused on is, how do we grow our small businesses? Because in 2012, if you look at census data, we had about 15,000 businesses, and they were very diverse. We had a lot of women-owned businesses. We had a lot of veteran-owned businesses. We were down to like 7,500 in the last 2 years, 2-3 years. We had a huge loss of small business in our city. So yeah,
my dad's disappeared. He's a veteran. He disappeared in 2008 with just everybody, like all the other small businesses around.
Right, exactly.
So we're already hurting, right? And then you got to, so if we're still going lower, it's a good thing that you are bringing, and that's a sign of the times to like, I used to call myself a one-man army, right? And then I started realized.
But you don't need to be,
yeah,
right?
It's like, a lot of hard work.
Right.
If you got people
helping
you.
I don't know how you do it to go to all these events.
No, right.
I swear.
But yeah. That's why, like, you know, it requires
teamwork.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work, right? And the other area we're really focused on is housing and home ownership. You know, if we start to build more housing, we're going to create construction jobs for our plumbers, jobs for our electrical workforce. Like, you know, we also want to see more home ownership. I have like a list of 500 families in San Bernardino who want to buy homes here and can't because there's no inventory, right? And we need affordable home ownership. We need a whole spectrum of housing from emergency to home ownership and everything in between.
I think I saw that NPHS is building 40 homes or infilling 40 homes. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen.
I just saw it on LinkedIn today.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I hope it's in the city boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The Mensa just posted it.
Yeah. The Sun just did an article on that, right? Or was that working with you all?
So we did the Ramona project that they're doing. Okay. Was part of the financing that they got was part of a national initiative that Uplift was a part of called the Accelerating Investment for Healthy Communities.
And this is with Clemente Mojica, my fraternity brother from
Cal State San Bernardino. Go Yokes.
Sig it, brother.
Yeah. Clemente, former CEO of NHSIE.
Yeah. And he's an awesome dude. He really is. He's a good family man, too. And we appreciate you, Clemente, if you're watching here. Kim's partying over there. What are you went into, Kim? What
Kim
is your role?
Kim's also all over the place.
Yeah,
you've
been
helping
Supervisor Vaca, right?
I was Supervisor Senior Field Rep for the last 2 years. I recently resigned. I wear many hats.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a longtime resident. I got involved just kind of like with you, just wanting to make a change, a positive change in the community. Rather than kind of being one of the people that complain about it, I wanted to be one of the people that actually is part of the positive movements and impacts on the city. So I started the Verdemont Revitalization Project, was really just kind of a small grassroots effort trying to, one, bring unity. What I saw is we have so many silos in our city. And growing up in the city, I've been here since I was 2, it was kind of strange to me. I got broken into, unfortunately, and when I went knocking on doors to my neighbors, what I realized, no one knew each other.
Yep.
It was very odd.
Yeah.
We had people that lived like across the street from each other for like 5 years, and they were like, I don't know his name.
So this is why growing fruit trees at your house.
Yes! It totally brings people together.
I take those avocados. I give avocados next door. I get tacos the other. I get ribs. And, like, across the street,
it's
I get
so
them to come
awesome.
To my neighborhood associating me. Like,
yeah, my neighbor's saving figs next season for me.
Yeah,
I'm so
and then
excited.
All of a sudden they just show up on your door, hanging on your...
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But little things like that really draw community.
They do.
Or just a card for Christmas, too, you know?
We focused on things like that. So we worked with the city's Parks and Rec Department, and we brought back Movie Night in the Park. We actually had the city, the largest Movie Night in the Park in the city, where they had to invest in bigger equipment because there were so many people in Tom Renner Park. The last one that we had, over 300 community members were in that park. It was filled. I mean, the kids playing on the playground. We had vendors set up, food trucks. It was, I mean, that's
yeah,
that
summer that summer movie park stuff was so much fun.
Yes. And so
that summer concerts were fun too, right?
Yeah. Yes. When I hear kids having fun, that's my nostalgia from when I was a kid. Like all the different things we would do. And, like, I want kids to have that for San Bernardino, so they'll stay here. And even if they do move away, they'll be like, I missed that spot.
Right, we decided to stay here, right?
And for me, like, my parents, I lost my mom. And it was kind of hard for me becoming a mom. Like, I wanted to have these kind of shared experiences that I had in my childhood, and I couldn't. It was a different San Bernardino, and I think going to college and I traveled around, I didn't really realize just how much our city had changed, and unfortunately for the worst. And so, again, I just wanted to be part of the positive movement. You know,
the as a phoenix rises up out of the ashes.
Yes!
Our wings, and I noticed that same thing. I was an archaeologist for like 14, almost 15 years. I was traveling all over Southern California, but hardly ever here.
Yeah.
In San Bernardino.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I realized, wait a second, this created me, and I don't do anything here. So that's when I went back to Cal State, and I really started to realize, wow, this is a good spot. We got a great
No, and Cal State San Bernardino opens with so many doors of opportunity, right? I mean, we graduated from there too, and I got to go to D.C. and work for a federal agency in Maryland.
It's one of the top 100 schools for Latinos.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And, you know, they have one of the top cybersecurity programs in the country.
Yeah, you know,
like, I mean, there's just all kinds of – we have a lot of phenomenal gems. Valley College is doing amazing work.
Yeah, we got two colleges right here.
I know.
Right?
Well, we have a lot of pillars. pillars in the city. I mean, from medical, we have the community hospital, we have
St. Bernardino, 1976, yes. Baby. And actually, they just helped my mama born. Today.
And then we have an international airport, we have a baseball stadium. I mean, San Bernardino has so many great foundational pillars. We just have to begin to build off them and leverage all these assets that we have. But like Karen, to her point, our community is our greatest asset. Mm-hmm. Us coming together. When we, you know, fought for that Bernamont Community Center, me and my sister didn't do that by ourselves. It was a community coming together with a common vision, a common goal, getting things done. And we need more of that. I love working with Karen. I mean, being able to co-chair the Nurse Center with her has been phenomenal because she is like a superwoman.
Thank you. That's really sweet.
And we love your man, by the way, too. Victor's he's been in here before, but behind the camera with when
yeah, and I wouldn't be
here.
Able to do anything I do without my amazing husband.
He is awesome.
And our children and our parents. You know, we do. I have a lot of support.
He's feisty online, too. He is feisty.
It's always the quiet one.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, go get him, dude. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just so important, right, for us for residents to come together and one, do the things, but also inspire our next generation.
So from what Kim just said, we can inspire you, team. All you have to do is go next door and meet your neighbor.
Yeah, that, you know what?
Give them your phone number.
Yes, simple as that.
In fact, say, let's exchange numbers right now. I'll call you.
Yeah.
Right? Then you have a connection. You don't have to do every single neighbor in one day, right? They're mowing the lawn. Go over and say hello, you know.
We started a neighborhood watch. That's really what kind of brought our immediate area together.
I'm president of our neighborhood association, and it is hard to get people to come to these things, but they're more than willing to talk to me at their front door and complain about everything. But like,
you know, it's amazing what people will come out for. One thing, like even with that Bernamont Community Center, we had over, I think it was about 80 community members that came to North Bernamont Elementary, and then another 100 that did an online survey. But when people really want something,
yes,
they'll come out. They will. Yeah. You have to.
When they were going to take away, when Fred Triet was trying to sell off Wildwood Park, it would have taken the whole council. But when they were trying to do that, Pat Morris's idea too, we filled up the Lutheran church. I mean, it was filled to the brim, and they fired their PR company that day. We had so many people there saying, "You're not moving our dog park."
Well, I think that's the thing, right? This is the power of community. Like, we do have a voice when we're involved, when we're engaged. You know, Campo Santo Memorial Park is actually not far from my house. And when I learned about the history, and I was like, what a great space to do a Dia de los Muertos event.
And it was fun.
And it was fun. And the first year, I mean, we really planned it in a really short window. And we had great turnout. So that's why we did it again this year.
We are the change. We actually did a cleanup there with Faye Aldridge. She was
I was at that cleanup. Yes.
Luisa
brings his big old dump truck out there. You know,
we had a good 50 plus volunteers out there cleaning that area up. It was wonderful.
Now, that was supposed to have community garden some kind
of.
Well,
the mural has gone up.
Okay.
So they did do the mural
on the Arrowhead side. Yeah. So there is, they finished it actually. And I loved the brilliance and ingenuity of how they put everything together, because there was a little bit of revitalization in other parks right across our city, but there was no waste because all of the extra and excess was used in that little pocket park that is now at Campo Santo Memorial Park. And so it's just really beautiful to think like we had no
waste.
We're
working on getting that memorial, the plexiglass fixed.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's definitely on the radar. I know the gate needs a little love too, but the plexiglass is cheap. So that's probably something we can get done a lot quicker. But we're making a list of what we need to do with different memorials across the city. And that's something else I wanted to speak about. Like they mentioned, like to ask the community about what kind of new memorials we would like in San Bernardino. I also want to ask the council members what they think they would like, and maybe we could have the council members come up with a list of different ones, like one each or something, and then we could ask the people what they think of that. Maybe they could add to that. With those polls, they add all kinds of things, and I love San Bernardino. But like, and then get started on creating some new historical monuments. I'd love to see one in our city for Cesar Chavez or Dolores Huerta. But there's lots of people, the McDonald's brothers. I mean, you know, there's people that have made a definite impact that like the monuments last forever. You know, like I love events, but I know that I've done a lot of events and there's very few people that remember them. Right, but you making a memorial, that thing could be there for 300, 400. You know, if we live as long as like European civilizations, right, that can be there 1,000 years from now, and people can still be like, wow, look at that history, right? So I think we haven't built a new memorial really in a while, right?
I think the last one was the Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
With the state building. Mm-hmm.
So we have all these beautiful parks we could like. You know, start. Well, so I'm gonna work on that. That's one thing I'm gonna work on. But so you partner with businesses. So how are you partnering with the city?
So a lot of it has been through like the general plan and really encouraging folks to attend the meetings and.
So you just call Sandra up like, hey.
No. We have to call the community. Oh. It's you know, ask our residents to come and participate. You know, there was a lot of workshops held by the consultants PlaceWorks. You know, and really just trying to help amplify that information and encourage people to come. You know, go to the library, go to their local community center where a lot of these conversations were happening. We also hosted a couple of listening sessions on our own and showed folks how to use the tool online and how to place the little house or the little park, and so that they could give input as to, you know, where do we need to see more housing, where do we need to see more green spaces, where do we want to see more commercial activity. We had this really cool training program called Vacant to Vibrant, and we trained 8 ambassadors to learn about the planning process, because it's kind of intimidating. There's a lot of language that, like, I'm not a planner, right? This feels like a foreign language. What's entitlement? What's land use? What's zoning? But all of those things matter, because when someone brings a project and says, I want to build a house here, or I want to build a retail space here, it has to be zoned properly. And if you're not in the development world, what does that mean? Really don't know. Right. What does that mean? So
that's a question for you.
Permission.
What would you say? Say there's a not-for-profit out there that wants to get more involved with the city. How should they go about that?
Well, it depends on what they want to do. Like right now, I do work with Habitat for Humanity, for example, and I'm showing them who to contact within city government with community and economic development department. Like I had to tell them today and remind them, you guys, we are a nonprofit. We're helping build affordable housing. Please email this person so we can be on the list when they sell surplus land.
Okay, we have a little bit.
There's information people don't know. And
right.
I wanted to give you some Birtec time. So, go ahead. You have a little less than 4 minutes.
Birtec. So as I was we were mentioning earlier, Birtec is increasing their rates. Most of my colleagues voted in favor of raising the rates coming March. So in February, be on the lookout for the public hearing. If you need to voice a concern, maybe the rates are going to be a burden on you financially, let Birtec know, because I have voiced it on my end. Of course, they don't contribute to my campaign. They did it 1 year, and ever since then, because I vote every year, no, I don't get any money.
Who does thunk it?
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's just I try to be the voice for the constituents, but if the constituents don't come out that at that meeting, it's going to send the silent message that it's okay to keep raising the rates. And I don't think it's proper. There's people that have complained to me that the rates have almost doubled.
Yeah, if you're on Social Security, you're barely getting a little increase.
Well, not only that, but if they're like working minimum wage jobs and they have families, they're barely making ends meet in our city. Everybody's a paycheck away from being homeless. And even if it's $1, $2, that can go a long way in saving it. So we did propose to Birtec. I know Jim Overhill has proposed it in the past. I have too. And this year we had Ted and Damon also propose that they offer us discounted rates for those of us who don't use much trash.
Okay.
So that's going to come up.
The mayor did point out that actually is already available.
That's what they said, but they haven't sent it out to constituents. Oh, they haven't offered it.
They're like, we got a program, but it's back here in the file.
It was in the contract. He pointed it out. The mayor did point that out, saying that there was an actual separate service rate.
And they're also in charge of the subcontracting with the street sweeping. They do street sweeping twice a month. Cities that I've lived in, they do street sweeping every single week. And I've seen that the other cities that they have contracts with, if the streets are filled with leaves, they will not street sweep. So if you live in a street that has a lot of leaves and you haven't seen the street sweeper, that's the reason. because you have a lot of leaves, and I'm trying to propose them to go out every week.
Is there a reason?
What's the rationale behind that?
That's what Birktech does with all of their contracts.
I want to thank you all for coming on the show. I appreciate you, everything you've done for our community. Each one of you is a mover and shaker in your own way, and but we work better together.
Don't forget to go meet
your neighbor across the street.
Yes.
And this is Robert Porter with the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show, and we are out of here! Woo!
CAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio.